News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Top security officials of Russia, Iran, and five Central Asian countries jointly called on Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Wednesday, after attending a dialogue hosted by India to firm up a collective approach to deal with security challenges following the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan. NSA Ajit Dobhal and Foreign Secretary Harshvardhan Shringla also joined the security officials in their meeting with the Prime Minister, officials said. It is learned that Modi was apprised about the discussions at the Delhi Regional Security Dialogue on Afghanistan by the security officials. India hosted the dialogue to firm up a common approach for practical cooperation in confronting increasing threats of terrorism, radicalization, and drug trafficking following the Taliban's takeover of Kabul. The Central Asian countries that attended the dialogue are Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. In the dialogue, the security czars flagged concerns over the possible rise of terrorist activities from the Taliban-controlled Afghanistan and called for a collective approach to deal with the challenge. In his opening remarks at the India-hosted Delhi Regional Security Dialogue on Afghanistan, Dobhal said, "The recent developments in that country have important implications not only for Afghan people, but also for the region." The United States on Wednesday said it will join the International Solar Alliance, which was announced by Prime Minister Narendra Modi at the 2015 Paris Climate Summit. The U.S. Special Envoy for Climate, John Kerry, announced at the COP26 in Glasgow that the U.S. has joined the Solar Alliance as a member country after signing the framework agreement, and also thanked PM Modi for championing this important endeavor. Lauding the US move, PM Modi said this will further strengthen the alliance in our shared quest of harnessing solar energy for a sustainable planet. The ISA is an intergovernmental treaty-based international organization with a global mandate to catalyze global solar growth by helping to reduce the cost of financing and technology for solar. With this, the U.S. becomes the 101st country to sign the framework agreement of the ISA to catalyze global energy transition through a solar-led approach, according to a PIB release. Union Minister for Environment, Forest and Climate Change Bhupendra Yadav welcomed the U.S. decision, saying the move will strengthen the Solar Alliance and propel future action on providing a clean source of energy to the world. Kerry, while signing the framework agreement, said, "It has long been coming and we are happy to join the International Solar Alliance, which Prime Minister Narendra Modi took the lead in making. We worked out the details and this is a process we are pleased to be a part of. This will be an important contribution to the more rapid deployment of solar globally. It will be particularly important for developing countries," he added. ISA was launched by PM Modi and then French President François Hollande at the 21st session of the United Nations Climate Change Conference of the Parties, or COP21, in Paris. The alliance focuses on delivering global relevance and local benefit to all countries through collaborations. The ISA's key interventions are on readiness, enabling activities, risk mitigation, and innovative financing instruments to facilitate the promotion and deployment of solar technologies in target markets. Earlier at COP26, the US had joined the steering committee of the One Sun, One World, One Grid initiative, comprising five members: the US, Australia, France, the UK, and India, and endorsed the One Sun Declaration along with 80 countries. Hailing the U.S. move to join the ISA, its Director General Dr. Ajay Mathur said the endorsement is a heartening development, especially as our 101st member nation, which is a significant milestone in itself, demonstrating that nations across the world are recognizing the economic and climate mitigating value of solar, as well as this energy source's potential as a catalyst for global energy transition. India's only unicorn, Nykaa, led by a woman, made its debut at Dalal Street on Wednesday, November 10, and the stellar response shot CEO and founder Falguni Nair's net worth to new heights. The 58-year-old is now India's richest self-made woman billionaire. According to an AFP report, Nair is now among one of the world's wealthiest, which was backed by Nykaa's recent initial public offer that got listed on the day amid an ongoing IPO boom across the country. With this achievement, the Nykaa founder and CEO has joined only six other women billionaires in India Bloomberg Billionaires Index, adding another feather to her crown since 2012. I started Nykaa at the age of 50 with no experience. I hope the Nykaa journey can inspire each of you to be the Nykaa of your lives, she said, ahead of her company's listing at the National Stock Exchange. Falguni Nair, who owns almost half of Nykaa's shares, is now worth $6.5 billion as shares of her company surged to 89% as they started trading on the day, according to a Bloomberg report. Nykaa shares saw a stellar debut on Dalal Street on Wednesday, November 10. Nykaa shares opened at Rs. 2001 on the BSE, an increase of 77.87% premium over the higher end of the issue price. On NSE, the Nykaa stock made a debut at Rs. 2018, up over 79.83%. On the day, FSN e-commerce, Nykaa's parent company, also became the first woman-led unicorn to debut at the stock market in India. In 2012, Nair, who was just months away from turning 50, came up with the idea of Nykaa, which was aimed at providing beauty products to women and men in the country online. Back then, Indians mostly relied on smaller neighborhood stores to buy beauty products. With the launch of Nykaa, cosmetics and skincare products were just a phone tap away, and the range of options increased drastically with the introduction of international brands and those which were never heard of. The startup has since grown into the country's leading beauty retailer, buoying online sales with demo videos by glamorous Bollywood actors and celebrities and more than 70 brick-and-mortar stores, said a Bloomberg report. Nykaa, derived from a Sanskrit word meaning heroine, sells products of more than 300 domestic and international brands, including Maybelline, Lakme, L'Oreal, and luxury brands like MAC, Huda Beauty, and Estee Lauder. With a wide range of products like bridal makeup essentials and hundreds of shades of lipstick, foundation, and nail color to suit the Indian market, Nykaa has steadily become the country's top online beauty retailer over the years. According to a Bloomberg report quoting Nykaa's filings, its sales surged 35% to $330 million in the year ended in March, making it a profitable company, which is rare among internet startups making a debut in the public markets. After a long stint at the Kotak Mahindra Bank, where she ended up as the managing director of investment banking, Falguni Nair found immense success at Nykaa, but still believed that the company has a long way to go. The brand has already started its venture into the fashion industry and managed by her Ivy League educated daughter and son, who also are promoters to the company. Nykaa has also launched a cosmetic, skincare, hair care, and intimate wear line of its own, backed up by its steady profit. Nykaa IP opened for subscription from October 28 to November 1, 2021. The company planned to raise ₹5,352 crore from its maiden public offer. Nykaa operator FSN e-commerce ventures had the price band at ₹1,085 to ₹1,125 per equity share before the listing. A lawsuit in which workers accuse a Hindu organization of human trafficking by luring them from India to build a temple in New Jersey for as little as $1.20 a day has widened to four other states. In the initial lawsuit filed in May, workers at a Hindu temple in Robbinsville, New Jersey, claim leaders of the Hindu organization known as Bochasanwasi Akshar Purushottam Swami Narayan Sanstha, or BAPS, coerced them into signing employment agreements and forced them to work more than 12 hours per day, with few days off, under the watch of security guards. They travel to New Jersey under R1 visas, which are meant for those who minister or work in religious vocations or occupations, according to the lawsuit. The amended lawsuit filed last month added several more workers to the lawsuit. The workers, who the lawsuit says were from marginalized communities in India, claim they were exploited at temples in Chino Hills, California, outside Los Angeles, Bartlett, Illinois, outside Chicago, Stafford, Texas, outside Houston, and Lilburn, Georgia, outside Atlanta. U.S. government officials have authorized the use of R1 visas for stone artisans for 20 years, and federal, state, and local government agencies have regularly visited and inspected all of the construction projects on which those artisans volunteered, Paul Fishman, an attorney representing BAPS, said in an email on Wednesday. The workers in other states alleged that while they weren't forced to work as many hours as their counterparts in New Jersey, they were paid well below standards set by federal and state minimum wage laws. Multiple workers named as plaintiffs worked at more than one of the temples, the lawsuit alleges, some for as long as 8 or 9 years in total. Similar to the allegations in the initial suit against the Hindu temple in Robbinsville, outside the New Jersey capital of Trenton, workers at the temples in the other four states claim they weren't allowed to have their passports and slept in large halls on the temple grounds that were monitored by security guards. At the Robbinsville temple and elsewhere, the defendants intentionally caused the workers to reasonably believe that if they tried to leave their work and the temple compounds, they would suffer physical restraint and serious harm, the lawsuit claims. The temples named in the lawsuit are all affiliated with BAPS, a corporation registered in Delaware and with offices in Piscataway, New Jersey. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.